This from a concerned citizen in response to a food chain show on managing the light brown apple moth in California. No, don't spray. Just say no to spray. No more chemicals. No pesticides. No bad stuff on my food, my community, or our health. Okay, okay. But wait, what about the pests?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned in to the 636th edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends up there in Elfin Cove who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. But wherever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio, with engineer Nikki James on the boards. Hello, Nikki.
Hello.
Producer Carol Stafford.
Hello.
And Parmalee Taff. Every week, I put out a press release to interested individuals as to the subject of this week's Food Chain Show. And there's quite a few people out there in the world who get that release, and sometimes they get back to me. This week's release was entitled Killing Them Softly, as the subject of this week's show was to have been about controlling pests on our farms and gardens. Interestingly enough, many responses I received said, "What's a pest?" Which, of course, is just another way of saying, what right do we have to kill other living things? Here's an example of one of them. Give it a listen. Michael, would you consider not calling all of these animals pests? Perhaps the problem at hand really begins there, in our judgment about how we see these animals. What about other ways to manage them that do not degrade our humanity? I mean, I would be interested in hearing a speaker willing to address that. Can you find somebody? Well, I was going to ask our guest today, Thomas Whitman of Gophers Limited, the question, what right do we have to kill gophers, Thomas? But Thomas could not make it in today, which means that I must ask you, as you are today's guest, now that Thomas didn't show up, what right do we have to kill gophers or any other critter that we call pest? Consider the question from Marguerite's perspective. Marguerite is another person who responded to the killing them softly press release. Marguerite does not want to harm anything, and yet she has a pasture full of horses and gophers, both of which are vying for the nutrients contained in the pasture's grasses. Now, the horses and grasses could share and share alike and live happily ever after in perfect harmony, just like Rodney King suggests we all do, but the horses have a way of stepping into the gopher holes and breaking their legs. And you know what happens when horses break their legs, right? What am I to do? Marguerite writes. She has three alternatives, I would suspect. She can have a pasture full of horses. She can have a pasture full of gophers. Or she can have a pasture in which the gophers and horses try to get along, but in which the horses break their legs. As she probably is not willing to support a pasture just for gophers, then, and she probably is tired of seeing her horses break their legs and having to dispose of them, I suspect that she wants to get rid of the gophers. So I wrote back to Marguerite and told her the story of Rosa Rosa. In a previous Food Chain show, a caller called up and we were talking about ways to get rid of gophers. And this fellow talked about something he learned in old Mexico. The story took place on a ranch down there, and the discussion got around to how the ranch's kitchen garden was being overrun by gophers. What do we do? What do we do? Of course, that's what we all ask when we see our garden being overrun with gophers. As the discussion went along, there was an old cowboy over there leaning against a tree, and he was mumbling something to the effect that, "Rosa, Rosa." And everybody kind of ignored him because he was just an old cowboy, and what do old cowboys know? But finally, our caller went over there and said, "What do you mean, Rosa, Rosa?" And the old cowboy, in his broken English, said the following. "There are two things you need to know about gophers. first thing you need to know is that they are afraid of snakes, and they will always cover the entrance to their tunnels. The other thing you need to know about gophers is they're hemophiliac and will bleed out and die if they scratch themselves on something. You know, they live under that soft earth, so there's not much there to scratch themselves on. So, he said, the way to control gophers is to save the prune branches from your rose bushes. Open up the entrance to the tunnel and shove a few of the branches into the hole, and then leave the entrance open. The gopher will claw its way past the branches to cover the entrance to its tunnel again, and that will be that for the gopher. Well, Marguerite writes back, I hate killing anything, Michael. God created it all, but I also don't want our horses to break legs, so I have to do what's best for them, of course. And the thing I really like about Rosa method is that it's pain-free for the critter. I hate poisons. They're cruel and uncalled for. And if it can be used on them, it can be used on us. And I hate traps that maim and kill. They're awful. So this method is the best because it's pain-free. I know firsthand. I nearly bled to death waiting for emergency surgery whilst living in Australia from internal bleeding. She then goes on to talk about socialized medicine, but I'll leave that part out. It was just very peaceful, calm, and totally pain-free. So it isn't at all a bad way to go, frankly. I know that might sound awful, and I don't mean it to be just by saying that all of the messages I've heard is for getting rid of these little boogers. Rosa is a great idea. Well, there are critters on your farm and in your garden that want to steal your nutrients. What do you do about them? You are today's guest on the food chain, so pick up your phone and tell us how you manage the pests in your life. And hey, do you think of them as pests? And should we do something to destroy them, or is there a humane way to manage them? Do we have the right to kill other living things? The phone numbers today, 831-479-1080, 800-624-2665. That's 831-479-1080. What do you think about the whole notion that we shouldn't consider pests as pests, and what the impact will that have on our ability to manage them if they're no longer see them as pests, as so many seem to think we should not see them as? What do you do about the gophers in your garden? The phone number is 831-479-1080. What do you do about the deer in your orchards? 831-479-1080. What do you do about the crows that are killing all the songbirds out there? 831-479-1080. What do you do about the molds and mites and parasites that want to steal your nutrients? This is your show today. Phone numbers today, 831-479-1080. I am Michael Olson, and this is the 636th edition of The Food Chain, and we look forward to hearing your voice today. And we have Rory on the line. Can you believe it? Just like producer Carol Stafford goes, yay, Rory's calling in. And so we get to hear from Rory. We may as well pick up Rory right now because what the heck. This is your program. Rory, welcome to the food chain.
Good morning, Michael.
So you're in commercial agriculture. What do you think of this notion, this fear of thinking of pests as pests?
You know, I think it's touchy-feely gobbledygook.
Well, certainly a lot of people are touchy-feely gobbledygook out there.
I know. I think the people that don't want to refer to them as pests are probably really far removed from producing food.
Yeah.
It's, you know, Michael, you're never going to kill all the gophers in the world. Just like, you know, I'm never going to kill all the two-spot mites in the world that are out there sucking down plants, strawberry plants and otherwise, and keep them at bay, and you'd use smart methods.
Where does it start? Where do you start with pest control? What's the most important first step?
In the crop that I'm dealing with in strawberries, you know, our first step is to maximize your natural enemies that are already there. You've got native natural enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And they always come in a little later behind your pest insect or your pest mite. So we put out predatory mites early in the season. And in some cases, we can control mites without spraying. Not just in organic. We do it in organic anyway. You have to. But in conventional, you can do it with a third of the predatory mites if you're smart and get it done early and everything falls into place. So it's all about preserving your natural enemies, augmenting them when necessary, and beat the pest to the production.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the main goal. Like with gophers, I'll call them a pest, but they're certainly a nuisance. And you just trap them out. You stay ahead of them.
Mm-hmm.
You discourage them, but you're never going to eliminate them. So.
Yeah. You know, I go along with you to a certain extent, but I think the most important first step is to have healthy plants.
Well, that's a given.
Okay.
You've got to have good soil, free of pathogens, or not free, but nearly free. Get your plant started. Yeah, you have to have a healthy plant. You start with a sick plant, it's susceptible to everything.
So, you have to control them, don't you? What happens if you don't control your pests, Rory?
A two-spot mite population in a strawberry field will suck it down. It'll go backwards. You'll literally watch the plants go backwards. And eventually the natural enemies will kick in, and the plants will begin to regrow. But, you know, then you've lost production that you can never get back this season.
So the pests get the goodies, and you don't, and that's what
you
happens.
You don't, and then you go broke, or if it's really severe, you know, if it's countrywide.
Hey, can you hold for a second?
Yeah.
All right. This is The Food Chain, right back. 831-479-1080.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of MetroFarm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. MetroFarm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. MetroFarm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. MetroFarm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of MetroFarm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Hey, we're back. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. Today we're talking about pest control, controlling and managing pests, and of course doing 636 radio programs on The Food Chain. You talk about pest controlling pests once in a while, and over the years I have come to recognize that as we progress through time, more and more people are seemingly objecting to the notion of calling pests and thinking of them rather in terms of other living things just like us, I guess, and objecting to the notion that they need to be killed, however softly you kill them. And so I'm wondering with Rory who was a good friend of the program in Watsonville, California, and Rory grows strawberries for people all over the United States. So, Rory, I got to ask you, do you think that as people go farther and farther from the source of their food, it's easier for them to become more of this mind that we should not kill other living things?
Absolutely. I think the further they're removed from it, the funnier their ideas become.
The funnier their ideas.
Well, they're not dealing with reality.
What do you mean?
Well, when it comes to you're raising a crop, whether it's an animal, livestock, or whatever that you're depending on for either food, income, or both, it's a battle between you, the weeds, the gophers, the insects, the diseases. It's a battle. So, you know, what are you going to do? Are you going to subsist or go hungry or starve to death? I mean, that's that's the reality. And you have to earn that income by production.
Well, Rory, I mean, you know this because you're out in the field and you're superintending a crop of living things that other living things want to eat, put simple as that. But what if you're not out in the field? What if you live in the suburbs and all of your food comes wrapped in neat packages? Am I still on here? Oh, comes wrapped in neat packages and you never see the... Well, I guess I lost my headset here for some reason. I'll just continue. What if the food comes wrapped in nice packages and you never know where it comes from and there's no touch with it and there's no... you don't have to fight anything.
Right, and you've got PETA telling you how terribly these creatures have been treated and all the death and destruction and the pesticides, and they paint this horrible picture, and you have no way to understand, to object to or counter their argument. So you fall sway and you become susceptible to the funny ideas like you don't call a pest and they should have a right to live too and all that nonsense.
What if we followed that logic to its logical conclusion, I guess, and what if Rory were just to let things go, let nature take its course, because after all, you're being judgmental as to which living organism is a pest and which one is not.
Yeah, no, you'd have food shortages ultimately, and like anything else, once you've developed a system of food production and you let it go, you don't get it back overnight. And you know, that's the thing is, and the reality is, Michael, you're never going to get rid of every weed. You're never going to get rid of every pest. They're resilient. There's plenty of refugia for these things to exist in. So you know, it's not a bad thing to keep them out of your crop. It's not a bad thing to try to push them away from what you're doing. I mean, and there's, I'm sitting next to a weed field here where somebody let the sow thistle go and the Canadian thistle, the Malva, and all this stuff. And I'm sitting here, and there's these incredible little yellow birds. They must be little songbirds. I have to look them up. And they're over here eating the tufts out of the sow thistle. Now, you know, if they're not eating them here, they're up in the foothills eating them. You know, this happens to be down on the flat. But these weeds grow somewhere else. They're not typically on a farm. People don't let them go. But, you know, they're not, the birds and the insects are not going to go out of business. And certainly the gophers aren't. So I just, you know, you just keep them at bay. I trap, you know, in my personal garden, I trap them. I keep them away and trap them. And you can discourage them. And there's certain times in the life of a plant that the plant's more appealing to the gopher. And once you protect it past that stage, you know, with either barriers or trapping, then they tend to leave it alone.
Let me ask you this, Rory. Did you ever think, as you were growing up, that we would actually be having this conversation I just think of all of, you know, the agriculture in my life, and I just can't imagine even thinking that we would be having this conversation.
I could imagine it because I grew up in suburbia.
Uh-huh.
Southern California, and even though we had family that had citrus and there was some farm background there, this idea of you know, we're poisoning the planet and all that stuff was starting to creep into my education, and so I had some unrealistic fears about using chemicals to control disease or pests.
Right.
That over time, with education, that became a non-issue. But sure, I could see it creeping in.
Do you think the use of chemicals, of real harsh chemicals, like we started out using DDT and these kinds of things, do you think that the use of those real harsh chemicals kind of gave agriculture a short shrift when it came to controlling pests? You know, maybe.
I think with some crops. Yes, short-term crops like lettuce, you can get away with it, spinach certainly. But if you take a perennial long-term crop like strawberries where it's in the ground for a year, the pesticide treadmill only takes you so far. So you're, and with the newer chemistries, there's selective materials. They're insect growth regulators, or they're specific to one pest. They don't hurt your beneficial, your native beneficial complex that develops. You know, the smart grower, he's doing that, and he's long-term, he's putting money in his pocket because he's not spending it on chemicals.
Right.
And he gets a better crop, he gets a better return. So the smart guy is utilizing both augmentative and natural predator insects out there. Now, fungus, you got to spray for that.
Mm-hmm.
But those are soft chemistries. They're not very toxic.
But do you think the use of the real heavy stuff, you know, early in agriculture, you know, the DDT and whatnot, you know, Rachel Carson's Silent Spring and all of this? Do you think it led to this whole notion that that there really is no such thing as a pest, that they're all living things and we have no right to?
There, certainly, Michael, that led to some of that kind of thinking. But I think it's a minority way of thinking. I think if you told most people what we're doing, educated them, they would see, you know, this is the smart way to go. The other thing is Rachel Carson's wrong. I mean, like I said, I'm sitting down here and there's birds chirping, there's insects. I mean, that whole Silent Spring thing is a joke. You're never going to get rid of insects. You know, they're everywhere. And the other thing is, it's changed, and that was a learning process. You know, they took those, whether they were organophosphates or other chemistries, the chlorinated hydrocarbons like DDT, they used those in the beginning, but they're broad spectrum, and they, you know, you killed off your good insects along with the bad ones.
Can you hold on with us for a while?
Sure.
Well, good. That's Rory. He's going to hold on with us for a while, and you can hold on as well. Pick up your phone and dial us, 831-479-1080. We're talking about pests, controlling them, or should we? Right back. Well, what do you do about the gophers in your garden? 831-479-1080. What do you do about the deer in your orchards? 831-479-1080. Love to hear what you do to manage the pests in your life. By golly, the other day, my wife Marlene was out in the garden, and she came running in, and she said, "Somebody stole all my roses." And I thought, what? Went out to the rose garden, and sure enough, all the roses were gone. And I was trying to figure out who on earth would steal roses. And, of course, it was the deer. What do you do about deer? 831-479-1080. Well, we've got a guy here who knows a lot about controlling pests because he is in commercial agriculture. He grows strawberries for people all over the world. And, of course, strawberries are very vulnerable sitting out there all by them. Some nice, juicy red berries sitting out there and row after row saying, "Come get me." What kind of pests do you have to contend with, Rory?
Well, the main, as I alluded to earlier, the main pest early in the season is spider mite.
What is a spider mite? Tell us about what kind of...
It's about the size of the head of a pin.
Oh, my gosh.
And so
it's not like you can swat them with a fly swatter.
No, and it actually is the number one worldwide pest. It's that small, but they reproduce very quickly. They spread.
They look like little spiders?
Yeah, they're tiny. But they have eight legs. They're spiders, and they're plant feeders. And if you don't get a handle on them, they'll clean your clock, and they'll take your crop down. But like I said, we released predatory mites this year. We went early. If you remember back in January, some nice warm days, we decided to go early, a month early, and lo and behold, some fields, we controlled them without using any sprays in addition to the predators.
So
that's the main one, and then you've got your ligus and thrips, western flower thrips that go after the
fruit. Now, what's a thrip?
It's a small insect that feeds. It's got a rasping mouth part, and it scrapes the surface of the flower and the fruit, and if they get too high in numbers, they'll turn your fruit brown, loses the gloss. Sometimes if they're high enough, they'll turn the flower sterile and you won't get a berry. And if you're careful, you don't use the harsh broad spectrum insecticide, you can encourage your natural enemies that will eventually move in and control.
Well, that's always like
it's a complex. It's several natural enemies. There's lace wing ladybug, geocaris, which is called big eye bug, minute pirate bug.
Where do you get all the bugs?
They're native. They just move in.
I mean, but where do you get the friendly bugs?
They come in. Well, the predatory mites are reared in factories or natural enemy labs or greenhouses, and then you buy those and you release them. All the others I mentioned are natives.
Right.
They live in the chaparral and the refugia along creeks.
So then you kind of encourage their growth then.
Right, by not killing them. You're smart. And then we use vacuums. People may see tractors going through them that looks like a vacuum device, and we use vacuums to try to suck up the adult ligus to minimize the number of immature ligus.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're careful and you use that in a judicious way, you can not have to spray for ligus. Typically, the broad-spectrum sprays for ligus is what kills your natural enemies, and then your trips become a problem.
Wow. So if you start intervening in this process, don't you run the risk then of upsetting whatever natural cycles are going on too?
You mean if you intervene with sprays?
Yeah.
Yeah. If they're broad spectrum, like I said earlier, there are some insecticides. There's one for whitefly that's an IGR, that insect growth regulator, and it just keeps that insect from molting and becoming an adult, and it's completely harmless on the beneficial, very specific to that insect.
Let me ask you about the big problem, the biggest pest of all, which, of course, are people. Do you have any trouble managing people on the farm, pests?
People pests.
And the reason I ask is that...
they like the UFW?
I saw an article here not too long ago. I think it was in the Wall Street Journal, but it talked about a melon crop in China and how the farmers... You know, struggled all year to get the crop ripe. And then as soon as the crop was ripe, people poured out of the city into the country and stole all the melons.
That's not as big a problem. I mean, it happens, but our farms are so productive that even if people pull off the road and pick a few berries or grab some lettuce or whatnot, I don't think it's a big issue.
Okay. Hang on. We're going to pick up Fred. Fred, welcome to the Food Chain. Michael Olson here with the producers Carol Stafford, Parmley Taff, and engineer Nikki James, and we have Rory also on the line. What's cooking, Fred?
Well, I haven't heard you talk about the worst pest of all, and that's the pit vipers in Congress.
Oh.
A bill coming up, I think, this week, and I believe the number is H.R. 875.
Oh, yes, we've talked about that.
Okay.
If you'd have been listening to the Food Chain, you would have heard that.
Well,
one.
I listen to the Food Chain, but not every week, so I didn't hear it today. So,
well, we did a show on it a couple weeks ago. Let me fill the good folks in on what H.R. 875, which is sponsored by Democratic Congresswoman Rosa DeLauro from Connecticut, says, in essence, that the entire food chain will become under the supervision of the United States federal government, and that all of the food safety regulations that apply to large factory farms will also apply to somebody who's selling eggs to their neighbor.
Bad idea.
So, Rory, what do you think? Fred, did I get it right?
I just want to make sure you brought it up again, because I think it's coming up for a vote this week, and people need to call their Congress critter.
Well, interestingly enough, it's sponsored by, I think it has 30 co-sponsors or something like that. A huge...
What's the bill number?
H.R. 875.
And it's, the usual suspects, Monsanto, ADM, and the other.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing about it is that it's called the Food Safety Modernization Act. Rosa DeLauro's husband is a hired gun for the Monsanto Corporation. And what H.R. 875 will be to establish protocols under which all crops will be grown so that they will be grown safely. Now, how are they going to determine what the proper way of growing crops are? Are they going to call Rory up and say, Rory, come to Washington, D.C. and help us? No, because Rory isn't contributing enough to their campaigns. to make that happen. They're going to go to people who are contributing significantly to their campaigns to figure out the proper protocols. And who is supporting Rosa DeLauro? The Monsanto Corporation, of course.
Michael, it sounds suspiciously like a central planning.
Well, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, and we've got a system in place called in California, you've got the University of California Cooperative Extension, you've got the research universities, you've got private.
But they don't want you taking care of yourself.
Well, we'll just have to remind them who's the boss, won't we?
Yeah, hold the phones. Hold the phones. We'll get right back to HR 875. Can you hold for a minute, Fred?
Sure can.
All right, right back. This is the Food Chain. Michael Olson here. We're talking about pest control, and the pests we're talking about right now are those who inhabit the halls of Washington, D.C. Who are your favorite pests? 831-479-1080. Right back. Well, what kind of bugs do you deal with? Those pests out there that want to steal the nutrients in your crops away from you. Some people say there are no such things as pets. They're all living things, and we should not kill them, however softly we intend to kill them. But if you're in the business of agriculture, in the business of providing food for people, you've got to scratch your head at the notion and think, well, if I don't do something, I'll lose everything. And if you lose everything, you're out of business. This is the Food Chain. I am Michael Olson, and we're talking about pest management, pest control, which is a huge subject in the field when you're talking agriculture. I don't think you can talk agriculture without talking pest control. Can you, Rory?
No, you can't. And, as you look across the strawberry strawberry field, you see lots of people out there working, as an example, or in a raspberry field. And if you don't control pests, those people don't work. They don't provide income. Income doesn't come back to this county, this state.
And as we know from Michael Olson's first law of the food chain, agriculture is the foundation upon which we build all our sandcastles.
That's right.
No agriculture, no sandcastles. Okay. No matter how pretty that food is that comes wrapped in plastic in the supermarkets of our suburbs. But Fred brought up an interesting notion that I guess I was trying to play with earlier. And it seems to me like the biggest pest of all to agriculture and for agriculture is perhaps not bugs that you can develop strategies of dealing with, but people. And Fred brought up the notion of HR 875. Fred, why do you think that HR 875 is a problem?
Well, for me, when I go to a grocery store, the only thing I look for is that it's grown in America.
Uh-huh.
I don't care what state, as long as it's in America, because they do still have the FDA to watch for things. Now, that's the only regulation we need, because they pretty much take care of a lot of interstate bills and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But 875 will put a damper on any organic gardening, which I'm trying to develop.
Now, why will it do that? Why do you think it will put a damper on organic gardening?
It's going to, I haven't read the entire bill.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know all the details, but I do know one thing, that it will come under all kinds of regulations, which there isn't now.
Right.
You have to be a certified gardener, certified organic, to develop certain things. But this will put a complete damper on all of that.
Let's go to Rory with that notion. And Rory, the federal government seems to want to be able to establish protocols for everyone to grow things with. And do you think it possible for a central authority somewhere else to figure out how you should grow strawberries here on your farms?
Michael, there's a system in place, as I mentioned before, with the university, whether it's in California or Iowa, that deals with the crops that are specific there. There's already best management practices. It should all be voluntary. There should be no role for the federal government to come down with a protocol and say, this is mandatory, this is how you're going to grow the crop, because they're not the ones doing it. Maybe the people they're listening to aren't the ones that are closest to the problem. And food safety is a concern, and it's being studied. And there are protocols in place by industry and concerned individual growers to deal with keeping the food supply safe. So, research and best management practices are published. there's conferences, it's being done all the time. To have a top-down, heavy federal regulation thing might sound good on the front. I'm like Fred. My suspicions are it'll become a monster, and then pretty soon they'll be restricting what people can do in their own yards, as was mentioned earlier. That's not too far-fetched. So I would not be for this kind of a legislation. I'm going to look into it again because I know you talked about it.
Yeah, H.R. 875. Fred, you got a quick follow-up?
Yes, I sure do. It will get to the point where the only food we can afford to buy will be foreign food.
Yeah, food from China, right?
Well, right. That may be, if you took it out in one set of scenarios, that may seem like a logical end. But, you know, in reality, is we're very productive here.
Yes, we are very productive here.
China can't do it. They can't feed us the way we can feed ourselves. So we just need to be smart about it. People need to remember that they are a sovereign citizen, and they need to yank the chain of the employees called Congress and tell them no. So the other thing is, Michael, and then I'll let you go.
Okay.
And I don't know if you're aware of it, but here in the last week, there were some light brown apple moth infestations found in blackberries in the Pajaro Valley.
Ooh.
I don't know if you're aware of that. It's being dealt with. That the fruit may be quarantined and only allowed to be sold within California. So the LBAM thing hasn't gone away.
Okay, let's go quickly. Yeah. Thanks for the call, Roy. Really appreciate it. Let's go to Scott. Scott,
yeah.
Welcome to the food chain. Good to have
you
aboard.
Thank you, Michael. Yeah, they're looking for absolute control over our food, water, everything. That's outrageous. No on 875. We need to alert them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people who worry about pests should see the movie or read the book, The Yearling.
The Yearling? I've never heard of The Yearling.
Oh, my God. Gregory Peck is in the movie, and...
So then it's not a new movie, then.
No, sir. He has a pet deer,
uh-huh.
And they live in the, on the frontier. And the deer keeps eating their garden, and so finally keep building fences higher and higher, and it doesn't work. And so finally they say, we have to shoot him. And the boy runs away from home. He gets so angry. And then he understands what starvation is. And he understands why they had to shoot the deer.
Huh.
So he grew up. He became a man through it. It was just a wonderful story. It's Gathering Dust.
The Yearling, huh?
Yeah, they even throw it away from school libraries sometimes. But it's one of the most important books I think anyone could ever read, or one of the most important movies anyone could ever see. And to get back to your topic about pests, I heard from an old pot grower that if you spray with egg whites, if you spray your plants with egg whites, the deers won't touch them.
That's because they'll get high cholesterol. Thanks for the call, Scott. Really appreciate it. Good to hear from you. This is The Food Chain, 831-47-1980. What do you do with your pests? Give us a ring right back. Well, by golly, you go out to the garden and you find all kinds of mounds out there of freshly dug dirt, and your carrots are gone and your rutabagas are gone and your roses are gone and everything's gone. Something has come and eaten them, and are they pests? What the heck are they? Well, they're gophers. What do you do about them? Scott is back, and he has something to do with gophers. What do you do with them, Scott?
Yes. You there?
Yeah, we're here. Go ahead.
Yes, I've had a 5-year battle with my backyard. I went and put in...
5 years?
Oh, at least 5-year battle with gophers. And we spent like thousands of dollars rolling out fertilizer, ground cover, and then sod for nice lush grass. And the gophers have been chewing it up. And I tried the bush tactic. We got a lot of thorns around bushes around here.
Uh-huh.
I tried that. It didn't work. I finally, this past couple weeks, went into Orchard Supply and found a what they call yard butler, which is a stake that you find the mound, you go back a few inches and drive it in there, turn the handle, and it cranks poison into the ground.
Ah.
The mounds. I don't see any more holes popping up. And this first time in 5 years. I mean, it got so bad that the battle that the gophers won, I just gave up watering the grass, let it go to weeds in it. I might bring it back now that I've found a cure.
Huh. So
I tried the rose bushes, and I don't know if I had... Yeah, I know I had them dug down far enough.
There's just so damn many of them.
Yeah. Well, if you have a lot of them, maybe you do have to get industrial about it. But what about the notion of killing those furry little buggers?
The poor little critters?
Yes.
You know, I tried flooding them out one time.
You tried drowning them, huh?
Yes.
I've tried that, too.
Pumping. I had an industrial pump going out of my well. And
a fire hose down the gopher hole, huh?
Yes. Thousands of gallons of water. I finally found one. He came up, get this. He comes up to the top of the mountain, looks at me, and thumbs his nose at me.
So what do you say to all of these people who say
they should
that...
take one home. They should take one home and make a pet out of them and feed them lots of their food. And then if they really want to be really cool, nifty, and groovy about it, let them loosen their own garden.
So to heck with them, then, is what you're saying.
I've given up trying to be nice to them.
Okay, good. Thanks for the call. Really appreciate it.
And H.R. 875, tell them Congress critters.
H.R. 875, call your congressperson and say, no way, 875. We don't need it. We don't need it. We don't need it. Thank you very much for the call, Scott. Appreciate it. Well, that was the show. We talked about pests, controlling pests today. We talked really about trying to come to grips with the notion of whether we should kill the animals that we consider pests, and there are a lot of people out there who do not think so, and think we should find another way of managing them that does them no harm. Can we do it? What do you think? You can always log on your comments on the forums at metrofarm.com, where the question will be posted. Dig in and let us know what you think. And stay tuned next week for more What's Eating What Radio right here on The Food Chain. And hey, remember, cheap food isn't.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.